Hey there, Regiroo. How you doing? How you doing? All right, my friend, what do you say we do a little podcasting here, huh? Sounds good to me. All right, my friend. Look at that. I gave you two of my friends already. Wow. How long have we been together here, Reggie? This has been quite a long time, to be honest. You know? Yeah. Do you know? You probably, when you got assigned to me, you probably were like, well, you don't even remember. Whatever. And to be honest with you, I didn't write it down either, because I had been through quite a few producers or engineers at the beginning of the podcast. So I was almost, you don't know, you're probably too young, but there is a show called Murphy Brown, and one of the running jokes was that she always had a new secretary or a new assistant every week. She went through them, and that was kind of the way that I felt. I hope it wasn't me. Who knows? Can't be, because look at you. You've been here for several years now, Reg, so I appreciate the loyalty. Hey, Reggie, your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Where have you heard that before? All right, you ready? Put in the book, episode 490, 490, and I'll give you a star, smile strong. Hit the record button after three, and here we go. Three, two, oh no, it's after one then, right? Yeah, don't hit it after three. Wait a second. Here we go. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. But, of course, while it's always important to listen, it's almost important, almost just as almost important, if that's a word, to get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much, 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 much appreciated. Of course, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com. You go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and you can hear past podcasts. Find out where we've been so you know where we're going. Just hit load and more. Load or scroll down and load more. Scroll down and load more. We've been doing this since May 2016, going on 10 years soon. And right now, we're getting ever so close to episode number 500, because this is episode 490. 490. Once again, we love fives and zeros. Important episode, 490, 10 episodes, 10 weeks. I think it might come to right down to the end of this year, depending on how the weeks I have to count. Are there 10 weeks left to the year? I mean, here we are, right? It's the middle of October. It would make sense. Four in November, four in December, two left in October. I think we're going to get right down to the last week of this year that will mark the 500. So that would be kind of cool to start the new year at 501, right? I might even buy some jeans for that. Some new jeans, some 501 jeans. How about that? Well, what do we want to talk about today? Let me look on my very, very detailed script. No, well, I'll tell you, you know, in today's world, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of you might not even know who Bob Hope is, but toward the end of his career, he was a well-known comedian, you know what I mean? Yeah, and toward the end of the year, I don't know. That used to be his kind of his opening for his monologue. I don't know, whatever. How about those? Anyway, yeah, it's an old reference. He's wild, isn't he? He's wild. But these days, what hasn't become politicized? Today, in our culture and our pop culture, and obviously in our politics, everything has to be looked at through a political prism, a political ideology, and a divisive mindset of us and them, and depending on who the us is, then that defines who the them is. And for those of us who kind of float in the middle, and that's exactly where I do float. I'm not an us or a them. I'm trying to be a we. But there's so few of us we's out there. There's just us's and them's. And there are those of we who are trying to be objective and look at things without hate and division and blanket and blanket rejection of the other side, that anything the other side does. And we're in such a strange area right now that everything is viewed. If you say one good thing about Donald Trump, or if you say one good thing about the Democrats, then the other side assumes that you hate the other side. You don't have to hate them. What happened to respectful disagreement? And so this is even crazier now. I could see when things like illegal immigration or other types of issues that are on the table now that are creating such great chaos and division. Okay, I get that. These are controversial, very hot-button issues. I get that. People are very emotional about some things like this. I get it. It's still no reason to be so completely tunnel-visioned that you have to hate or immediately criticize every step that the other side takes, that there's absolutely nothing positive or nothing good about what the other side does. And even if you do have to compliment it, it's always tempered then with 10 negative views about it. I just don't understand it. As I said many times, you know, having grown up as a media junkie, as a news junkie, and then going to school and working as a journalist and an editor for more than 10 years, I'm kind of almost innately think of things from both sides. You know, I was taught to be objective as much as possible. Look, everybody is subjective. We all, at the end of the day, some of our own personal views or feelings creep into anything. But the role of a journalist certainly is to be as at least it used to be, as objective as you should or could be. You weren't supposed to interject your own opinion. You were there as a reporter of facts, and then the public was supposed to make up their minds based on it. But nowadays, that's out the window. But for those of us who are clinging to looking at objectivity and looking at our world objectively, many times we are either discounted, not even because if you don't take a side, then someone feels that you're not engaged. I can either hug you or hate you, but you can't be on both sides. You're almost isolated if you look at both sides of the coin. Or depending on who you're talking to, if you present a logical side and you try to present both sides of the story, depending on what side's listening to you, they will cling to what you say positive about their enemy and brand you as an enemy, or vice versa. Because in these days, you can't say one thing positive about the other side, or you're immediately branded as that side supporter. In many people's views, it's one or the other. You can't be in the middle. And for those of us who legitimately are in the middle, and yes, you can be if you want to, it takes effort. It's not easy to stand up to both sides, because you will face criticism from both sides if you, without even provoking. All it takes is to say one positive thing, depending on who you're talking to, about either the president or the Democrats, and then you're viewed as an enemy of the other side immediately. Oh, well, then you must like Trump. Oh, well, then you must be a Democrat, depending on who you're talking to. And boom, I'm trying to live in the middle here and see both sides and try to see some kind of light at the end of the tunnel. As I said, I'm viewing the world right now not in an us against them, but a we. But wow, the Super Bowl halftime show is now politicized. I mean, what's left anymore? What's left? As I said before, I could see some of these major issues on the table today. You know, can incite passions on both sides of the political ideologies. But now the Super Bowl halftime show has become politicized. That's become an us and them instead of a we issue. If you've listened to this podcast over the years, I've spoken many times and predicted that I've bemoaned and I've been saddened by the fact that over the last several years, decades or if not decades, we are we're becoming more isolated, and there are less and less communal events that we share, either that we all go to, or the easiest way is that we watch on television. There used to be several of these, and the streaming services have really helped fractionalize our entertainment world and our entertainment behaviors and habits and routines. You know, 20 years ago on Monday morning, 25 years ago, people would talk about the new Sopranos episode, because everybody is watching it on Sunday night. Everybody would talk about the new Seinfeld episode. Everybody would talk about the new Friends episode, because everybody was watching it at the same time, on the same day. And the next day, everybody would be reacting about it and socializing about it. But that doesn't happen anymore. Now everybody, I didn't watch it yet. Spoiler alert, I didn't watch it yet. Well, how could we have any conversation about anything? You talk about a movie or a TV show that's been out for 2 months. Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I don't want to hear about it. Well, then what do we have to talk about? It used to be TV shows and movies used to be a source of commonality that would help, that would bring people together to talk about different things. Yeah, I saw it. Did you see that? Points of discussion, shared interests. Now everybody's got their own interests, except Taylor Swift fans. And even they're divided. And I might talk about that sometime soon. There's even division in the Taylor Swift world about her new album. Boy, when the Taylor Swift world gets divided, we are a divided world. But now the Super Bowl halftime show has become a political football. Oh, wow. I mean, as I said, there used to be these communal events, but now really the only true communal event that not only this country, but in many cases the world, watch in any real, significant and impressive and widespread numbers at this point is the Super Bowl. There used to be several of these. Super Bowl, obviously, the Academy Awards, some different award shows. Back at one point, perhaps the World Series. There used to be some of those things, but they've all fallen by the wayside. And the Super Bowl, at this point, at least up until now, I don't know anymore. I don't know if I can even say this about the Super Bowl anymore, that the Super Bowl is the one uniting communal experience that we have left, that the whole world watches on the same day at the same time. That used to be commonplace. Now it is practically extinct. The Academy Awards used to be one of those events. They call that a tentpole event where everybody comes in. Doesn't matter, what your interest is or your politics. It was a communal event, the Academy Awards. Everybody used to watch the movies and go to the movies and have their favorites. And it was a real competition. And it was fun. And we liked it. And so, unfortunately, the Academy Awards has completely lost its luster for a variety of reasons. Some self-inflicted, some inflicted on them. But at the end of the day, the result is the Academy Awards are no longer that. They still get good ratings. They still get huge ratings, but they don't get phenomenal ratings where the whole world, they always give this thing, a billion people are watching. Well, they're being fast and loose with the numbers now. It might go around the world, but are a billion people really watching it? Not as much. The movie industry, sadly, was certainly seriously affected by COVID, no question. I mean, movie theaters were closed, right? Nobody could go see them. But the truth be, the movie industry had been becoming a little fractured and a little out of touch for almost 20 years now, if not 20 years, by really going all in on the comic book superhero kind of film. There's no question. It is and has been a hugely successful movie segment. But over the last 20 years, ever since the first Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr., that's when it really took off. Certainly there were other superhero movies in the past, most notably, obviously, the first Superman movie, and then in 89. Oh, now I'm going to have to look it up. When was the Batman movie? But anyway, the Tim Burton Batman film was another major milestone. 89, that's what I thought. And that started the trend, but then it wasn't until Iron Man, the Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man, that really told Hollywood, there's some money to be made here. And I'm looking that up, and that was 2008. Okay, so 2008. So almost 20 years ago, the entire movie industry went all in on the superhero genre. And we've got DC and Marvel universes, and it's a whole thing now. And it was so profitable and so directed toward a very engaged and growing audience that Hollywood forgot about all other kinds of movies and just put all of its efforts and all of its talent and all of its money into various superhero comic book based films. And as I said before, it was a hugely lucrative decision. From a business standpoint, it was not a bad idea. But from an artistic standpoint, it started to just consume all of Hollywood's attention, and some of the smaller films or dramas or even rom-coms or anything else practically was put aside. And in that way, they began to lose and alienate a large part of their audience. And now we're almost in a superhero fatigue kind of area to some extent. But how many dramas, How many rom-coms, aside from animated films and the superhero films, where do you see anything? They come and go. They used to be, I mean, could you imagine today a movie like Kramer versus Kramer? That movie came out in 1979. You know, about a divorce and a father raising his young son. And the divorce, the acrimony of the divorce between the parents and how it affected the kid. Could you imagine that being the best picture of the year? Impossible in today's world. Probably wouldn't even get made. And it swept the Oscars that year. In today's world, it probably wouldn't even get past the network studio pitch. So they, you know, Hollywood created their own demise to some extent. They alienated a huge segment of their audience for pure revenue. And they got it. But it always comes with a price. And that was a price that pretty soon people are going to get tired of this, or you're going to just be, you know, regurgitating what you've done before. How many Spider-Man movies have they been? The same, you know, he's had a new Superman with a new angle and a new origin story. I mean, how many times could we keep telling that same story? But now they're hitting a wall on that. And so by alienating their audience, they basically have ruined the Academy Awards. Because now nobody's rooting for a movie. Before you, I went to see this movie, I went to see that movie. I used to regularly go to see all the Academy Award winners at that time. You know, if I didn't see them previously, then I made sure because I wanted to be ready on Oscar night. It was a big deal. It was the Super Bowl for movie fans. Now, the Academy Awards over the last 5, 6, 7 years, they've diluted the award show itself. They expanded some categories. Now the best film category has 10 nominees as 5. It's basically an extension of the everybody gets a trophy philosophy that's dominated our world and our parenting philosophies for the last 20 or 30 years. And by that, you've diluted it. You've diluted the importance. When there are only 5 movies, then, man, those 5 movies must have been damn good. And the one that won must have been really damn good. But now, once you dilute the product, it loses its edge. It loses its importance. But now that's where our society is. Well, we don't even want competition in many ways. Everybody should feel good about themselves. Well, that sounds good on paper, but that's not the way the human being works. Even if that's your lofty goal, it's never really appeared any time in the history of mankind. So the odds of that really ever happening are pretty low, if we're going to look at it realistically. But not only that, you know, it's no fun if you don't go to a horse race to see all the horses come in first. You know, that's what happened. The horse race has been taken away. Everybody gets a cheer. The categories have been expanded, and the importance of the award then loses a lot of its luster. And with so few people now going to the movies, not only affected by COVID when the theaters were literally closed, but now everybody's staying home and streaming and not going to see these films because basically they're not making films that are aimed at a wide audience. They're just these very specific genres, and the other people are going, so what am I supposed to see? And so they found
other options, other entertainment options. And so the movie world is suffering, and thus the Academy Awards have lost their importance and their relevance and their dominance as being one of these communal events that everybody watched on that day to talk about the Oscars the next day. It's not that way anymore. Bad hosts, poorly produced shows themselves, the Oscar presentations, and ultimately, though, diluting the talent pool of opening it up too much and taking the excellence out of what used to be an exciting night. And so now even the Oscars have lost their luster. And to be honest with you, for somebody who used to watch them, like, as I said before, like it was the movie fan Super Bowl, I watch it, but really I record it. I kind of watch something else, and then I go back every 15 minutes. And so I'm not even watching it really live anymore. Then I go back 15 minutes. I don't check my phone or anything else, and I just go back and rewind 15 minutes and watch to see the winners, and then, you know, fast forward through all the ridiculous speeches and skits and musical numbers, and that's the way I'm watching the Academy Awards now. It's not the way I used to. I used to be glued to that, and I think a lot of other people did when you look at the annual ratings. They're still big numbers, don't get me wrong, but they used to be gargantuan numbers, and that's gone, and that's Hollywood's fault, as I said, and it's also the Academy's fault, kind of diluting their product. Now, the Academy Awards, to me, it's not even really a movie award show. It's a fashion show. More people are worried about the red carpet before it than the awards that are given out at the event. It's become more of a fashion story and a fashion event than it really is a movie event. They try to make it sound important like that. Oh, it's Hollywood's biggest night. Well, it's Hollywood's biggest night to see who will be dressed in what. It's sadly not the biggest night anymore as to what's the best film or the best performance. It really is lost its magnitude. It's must see. The only thing left that has that magnitude, that must see, that live element, that everybody on that one day at that one time does get together to watch socially as well as a sports event at its core is the Super Bowl. But now, as I said earlier here, the Super Bowl halftime show is being politicized. A couple of weeks ago, with the Super Bowl in February, only about 4 or 5 months away, the announcement came that because now that's becoming a big deal. What's the Super Bowl halftime show? Who's going to be the Super Bowl halftime show? Entertainment. Whoa. And so the announcement comes. It's going to be the Latin performer, popular international superstar, just a chart-dominating superstar internationally, as well as here in the United States. Puerto Rican by descent. All of his songs are actually sung in Spanish. That's how much of a global international star he is. And the winner is Bad Bunny. Okay, Bad Bunny. Now, I admit, I have heard of Bad Bunny. At first, I thought it was an ice cream. but then I was reminded that that is Blue Bunny. No, this is Bad Bunny. And Bad Bunny, as I said, I've heard of him. I can't say I've heard. Maybe I've heard his songs. I don't know if I have. And the fact of the matter is, Bad Bunny ain't making music for me. Bad Bunny is making money, is making his money, or his music, and making his money. But he's making his music for a younger crowd. And that's fine. And that's great. And more power to Bad Bunny. If you can become that big, I mean, I've been told by some that his international overall fame is almost Taylor Swiftian. Okay, that's big. That's major. If that's true, so that being true, why shouldn't Bad Bunny be the halftime show? Well, this has caught the attention of both sides, once again, of the political aisle here. With Bad Bunny's reputation, first of all, a Latin artist at his core. It's his heritage. He's from Puerto Rico. But he's also been kind of a gender-bending kind of artist. And so right away, the people on one side of the aisle look at Bad Bunny right in the middle of this illegal immigration issue, the transgender issue, and they say, wow, what's happened to the Super Bowl? Look at what they're promoting. While the other side says, wow, look at the Super Bowl. Look what they're showcasing. How amazing. This is my point. Did you hear the difference in my voice? As I said before, it's an us and them. I'm trying to become a we. And I think to some extent, so is the NFL. I think, you know, there's no question. And let's get to the nuts and bolts of this, first of all. I'm not surprised that someone like Bad Bunny is the halftime show. Frankly, and there's been some talk, I'm surprised it isn't Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has probably done more in the last year and a half or 2 years since she's been going out with Travis Kelce. She has probably done more to expand the NFL audience, especially into the younger crowd and especially the younger female crowd who are all Swifties. She has probably done more for the NFL's expansion of popularity and awareness in this country and even around the world. Taylor Swift has done more than Patrick Mahomes or any of the greatest players playing today. Jalen Hurts, any of them. Taylor Swift has done more, has been an accidental marketing tool. The NFL could not have fallen into something any better. If this indeed was a natural occurring romance rather than some kind of stage thing. I mean, they are engaged now, so we'll see what happens. I would assume this is an authentic and legit thing. It wasn't some kind of publicity stunt. But my point is, if this did happen naturally, the NFL could never have planned for this. But wow, have they been able to take advantage of it. With the sale of merchandise, because Taylor's wearing it all, coming to the game, so seeing her on television, the ratings, you name it. Taylor Swift has been a huge, huge boost to the NFL, which means that the NFL is looking around and saying, okay, wait a minute. Well, who else can help us to expand our audience? And that's what the NFL has been doing for many years now. They have been guerrilla marketing and targeted marketing and have now become the most popular and biggest sports or even entertainment entity in the country, if not the world. And that's the other thing too. So you have to understand, the NFL, unlike Hollywood, is looking to expand and hit various groups. They want to be mainstream and widespread. And so they know they have, at this point, the country's, if not the world's, most singular watched and singular enjoyed live event, the Super Bowl. They know they're going to have hundreds of millions, if not billions of eyes. And those are real eyes, not just hyped up numbers. They know that. And so their goal make sure that those eyes become fans. And so over the last several years, the NFL has been looking to expand its scope in many ways. We see now that the NFL has regular season games on a regular basis in foreign countries. They started as exhibitions, they started as preseason games, but now there are games that count, that are played in foreign countries all around the world. They're regular season games. That's a huge step. So ultimately, the NFL is said it, but they're making real steps toward not just being an American game, but an international game. And I would not be surprised within the next 5 to 10 years, and I would say closer to 5 than the 10, is that we will see one, if not two, international-based teams become a part of the NFL. So you have to look at this not in a micro way, but in a macro way. They are looking at the bigger picture, and they are taking steps regularly to expand their brand, not only within the United States, which is obviously their most captive audience, but now to an international audience. In fact, you know, think about it. The NFL, National Football League, they may need to change their name in another 5 to 10 years. If you have a London team or a German team, well, then you can't call it the National Football League anymore, right? And they've been moving this way for more than a decade. As I said, testing the international waters. So is it any surprise if that's their ultimate goal, that's where they're finding their future, to expand the brand internationally, to grow it even bigger than it is now? Why stay within the continental 50 or 48 states when you can expand to the world? And the game has proven to be popular in many foreign countries. So why not export it? We've been exporting our goods for years, right? Well, right now, one of our biggest and most valued products is the NFL. So is it any surprise that the NFL, if they're looking to expand internationally, would decide to feature a Latin-oriented, Latin-appealing music artist for their halftime show? Isn't that going to bring in a whole new set of eyes, just like Taylor Swift did when she started to date Travis Kelce? It sure sounds like that way on paper. It's not a crazy choice. Now, for some of us, who's Bad Bunny? But you also have to understand this too. If you're 55 or older, here's the hard truth, okay? The deep dark truthful mirror, okay? The NFL isn't aiming at you. They know they've got you. If you're 55 or older, you've been watching the NFL for 40 or 50 years. 60 years, 70 years, depending how old you are. It's a part of your routine. It's a part of your life. It's one of your interests. They know they got you. They'll throw you a few bones, but they're aimed at the 25 and 15-year-old. And now not just male, but female, thanks to Taylor Swift for many reasons. So they're looking at a completely different target audience. We're hearing so much you know, backlash about this Bad Bunny choice for the Super Bowl halftime show in February, you know, February of 2026, but it's mostly coming from older people who are going, who? What? Why not have the Rolling Stones? Well, because they're 82 and as popular as they are, I got news for you. Some 15-year-olds would rather see Bad Bunny. Some 15-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds and even 30-year-olds and 35-year-olds would rather see Bad Bunny. Would rather see Taylor Swift. Those days are gone when you're going to see The Who or The Rolling Stones or Bruce Springsteen who've done that in the past. No, that's not where the NFL is aimed. That's not their target audience. You had your time. We had our time. They know they've got us. They're looking at three generations ahead of, you know, that are on their way now. Gen Y, Gen Z, and whatever comes before that. That's where their aim is. They're looking to grow this entity for the next 20 or 30 years. So no, don't expect some classic rock band. You're showing your age, and you're showing that you're not getting where the NFL is going. The NFL knows they've got you if you're over 55 or older. They've got you. They got to get those younger people, and that's where they're going. And you say, well, what's the evidence of that, Jim? Well, it's very simple. Starting with the 2020 Super Bowl, last 5 years, the producer of the Super Bowl halftime show, because it was starting to become such a big deal ever since the 90s, that by 2020, the NFL is saying, you know, we've got enough on our plates. Let's go hire an entertainment company that really has Roger Goodell and his football administration people. They don't know what's popular with the young people. So let's get somebody who does. So in 2019, ahead of the 2020 Super Bowl, the NFL signed into an agreement with Jay-Z's entertainment production company called Roc Nation to produce the Super Bowl halftime show. So right away, you know, if Jay-Z is involved, where his perspective is going to be in terms of who or, you know, what kind of music or what kind of acts that he's going to highlight for the Super Bowl. And that's what the NFL wanted. They wanted somebody with that ability that's tapping into the right now. What are young people into right now? And if you look back since 2020 to see who's been the acts, it's very clear that Jay-Z's got a very specific viewpoint based on what's dominating the charts at the time. I mean, that's still our signpost as to where's the pop culture musically. Well, it's based on that. And so it's certainly been over the last 5 years since Jay-Z's involvement, it's very hip hop and rap oriented and big pop oriented. Because that's where the music is right now. That's where the streams and the views and the sales are. Hip-hop and rap and pop. Female pop and hip-hop. Slop, blop, blop, mop. But that's where it is. And so who has Roc Nation and Jay-Z booked over the last 5 years or so since they become the official producer? Well, they've had a group of, they had Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. internationally based, Latin. Jennifer Lopez can't get much bigger than her in terms of popularity, right? They had sort of a hip-hop rap conglomerate that had like Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Mary J. Blige and Kendrick Lamar and Eminem. Another year they had Rihanna. Another year they had The Weeknd. They've had Usher. Last year was Kendrick Lamar again. People were like, Kendrick Lamar, who's he? Once again, there was this other, the 55 and older set's going, who's he? Well, it just so happens that the Kendrick Lamar Super Bowl show was one of the highest rated of all time. So yeah, he's not on my radar screen. He's not on some other people's radar screen, some long-term Super Bowl and football fans, but that's not where they're going. They know they got us. And yeah, you know, we feel a little dated and we feel a little betrayed and we feel a little on the outside, but that's what comes with hanging around. We've always been a youth-oriented culture. It's not easy to accept it, but you have to realize that that's what's going on. And as I said, it's been since the 90s where, I mean, some people have no idea. Do you realize that, you know, the Super Bowl's only been in existence since about 1967. They used to have a championship game, but the Super Bowl, once there was the AFL, and then the NFL combined, and now you got the AFC and the NFC, but there was this AFL, this kind of upstart league, and then some of those teams became merged into the NFL. And with more teams, then they had to create these kind of divisions and conferences. So there really wasn't a Super Bowl per se in name until 1967. But for almost like 20 some years, the halftime shows were throwaways. The halftime show, halftime during a Super Bowl used to be 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Just for the players to get a break. People in the stadium to go to the bathroom or get some food, and the people at home to, you know, stretch their legs. And that was it, like 15, 20 minutes. That used to be the intermission. What the heck? Now the Super Bowl show is like a half hour. And it basically was never televised when you went to see a game or anything. Even the Super Bowl halftime show during the broadcast was never really, in the early days, even broadcast. It was meant to be a filler for the people at the stadium, not for people at home. For 20-some years, the Super Bowl halftime show were college or local or high school marching bands. That was the halftime show. Marching bands, just like you see at the college games. Marching bands, that was the entertainment. And it was there as a luxury. We'll just get some marching bands out there from the schools, just like in college, to play, you know, to entertain the people that are at the game. They were never even televised. The Super Bowl halftime show was hardly its own entity. It wasn't until the late 70s and early 80s when it started to get a little more highly produced, still kind of marching band based, but then suddenly a little more entertainment fueled, entertainment-ish, until about the early 90s. In 93, I think, Michael Jackson played the Super Bowl, and then that's when everything started. And, I mean, my gosh, you know, we've had people since then like U2 and NSYNC, and, of course, the most famous and notorious Super Bowl halftime show with Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson when her nipple was exposed. But, I mean, you know, going down the line, we've had Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen and Prince and Tom Petty and The Who, and Katy Perry and Coldplay and Lady Gaga and Beyonce. And you see where things are going, but that music, all those acts I just talked about, maybe aside from Katy Perry and Lady Gaga, those are all now older. Even Coldplay, Chris Martin is in his 50s. That's not where the NFL wants to go. They want to go younger in their demographic, and they want to go wider in their awareness internationally. So Bad Bunny fits the bill perfectly. Now, yes, there's some baggage to that in today's world. As I said, everything now is an us or them kind of political issue based on a political ideology. We look at everything through that prism. So, of course, when somebody who has no idea who Bad Bunny is, if you're in the public eye, especially if you're in a politician, and someone says, oh, by the way, have you heard? And they certainly want to get your view or your opinion. So, Mr. President, so, Mr. Speaker of the House, I mean, you know, Trump is almost 80. Mike Johnson's got to be in his mid-50s. Once again, not the target audience, really, for the young crowd, and he's a very religious guy, Johnson, the Speaker of the House. So they go to him, for instance, they say, well, what did you think about this naming Bad Bunny? And of course, he doesn't even know who the hell Bad Bunny is. And showing his age, he says, well, that's a bad choice. They should have gotten someone of more mainstream or broader appeal. And then he names Lee Greenwood. Lee Greenwood? Does anybody who's 20 years old or younger know who Lee Greenwood is? Lee Greenwood has got to be in his 70s at least. And he's the guy, he was a big country star in the 80s and 90s. And of course, his claim to fame is, I was raised in America. He sings that song, you know. President Trump always trots him out. At least I know I'm free, you know, that song. Well, but the guy's 70-some years old, but that's where Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is coming from. Why don't they get Lee Greenwood? Lee Greenwood? Yeah, we had Kendrick Lamar in 2024, and in 2025, we're going to have Lee Greenwood. What? I don't even know anything about Lee Greenwood, aside from that song, that America song he has. I mean, I could see if you're saying, well, why don't they have a country artist, you know, maybe like, you know, Chris Stapleton or anyone else like that. The big country artist, even Garth Brooks at this point, who's still too old. He's older. But my point is they want to say, you know, there's no question that country music is a huge, you know, seller these days. It's a mainstream music. There's a lot of country artists, too. But, you know, oh, yeah, this song is called God Bless the USA. I was born an American. But, you know, I mean, Lee Greenwood is, you know, I mean, come on. That's not going to happen anymore. He's like, he's got to be in his 80s. Those days are over. This is a young person's game here because it is the last communal, widespread, mainstream kind of thing. And when some people's eyes say, well, Lee Greenwood is mainstream, I got news for you. No. As much as you want to admit it or not, Kendrick Lamar is mainstream. Katy Perry is mainstream. Lady Gaga is mainstream. Chapel Roan is mainstream. Dua Lipa is mainstream. That's who's dominating the charts today. Taylor Swift, obviously, is in a place all to herself. But my point is, that's who's dominating the music world and, in many ways, the culture. For those of us 55 and over, as I say, and over, we don't get it, but they don't care if we get it. We're going to watch that game. And you know what? We might not. We'll turn off and they don't care if we turn off or pay attention to the halftime show. It's not aimed at us anymore. So deal with it and get over it. But don't say Lee Greenwood or, you know, Donald Trump was saying, well, I mean, I don't know who he is. Terrible. Now, once again, at the same time, while there's no question it's a demographical, it's a generational pick to have Bad Bunny, don't think to have Bad Bunny, a Spanish singing Puerto Rican artist who has featured and promotes gender bending kind of looks and ideologies in his music or his videos or in his on his stage show, don't think that that isn't a political statement for the day right now, given the controversy and the chaos and the passions that surround the illegal immigration policies and issues. Now, the NFL has you know, it when you get to be that big, when you start to become a part of the culture, you have to understand that your responsibilities grow, and you have to be ready for that. So you may remember several years ago, maybe even 10, I can't remember when the Colin Kaepernick controversy started, but remember the whole Colin Kaepernick, of which, and I was doing the podcast at that time. I talked about that. I mean, it's been that long already. And, you know, everybody might remember that Colin Kaepernick was one of the leading quarterbacks in the league, went to the Super Bowl with the 49ers. But is more known for his controversial taking of the knee during the national anthem in a outward protest for social injustice. Now, don't forget, this is 2016. This is 4 years before George Floyd. But he was already, you know, kind of becoming more politically active because of his prominence in the NFL. And so he made a decision to make this very outward statement about political justice by taking a knee. Well, it became very controversial. And I said at the time, and I still back it up, I don't care, 10 years later, as I said, I worked 10 years in public relations. I'm all for him having the right to and doing whatever he wanted to do to make a statement about, at that time, political or police brutality and racial inequality. I get it. He has a right to do that. We've been talking about freedom of speech quite a bit in 2025. It's probably going to be the main topic when you think about, Jimmy Kimmel and Charlie Kirk. It's all about freedom of speech. And so Colin Kaepernick definitely had the right to have his views put forth. The problem was his act was purely conceived and purely executed. He had the national stage. He had national awareness, and he decided to use it for his political activism. Once again, no problem. John Lennon has done that. Many people have done that. The problem with Colin Kaepernick's protest effort, or what he did, his expression, was that itself was purely was poorly conceived and executed because it distracted from its intended theme. When he knelt down during the national anthem, it was a defiant move, but it wasn't purely and obviously about police brutality or inequality. What it was, on its face, seemed to be a disrespect of the United States flag or the United States national anthem. And so while he was trying to bring attention to worthy issues, police brutality and racial inequality, his actual chosen act of protest signified something else to a majority of people, which was a lack of respect or disrespect for the American flag and the national anthem. And so his message got convoluted. It was a worthy expression, and the issues he wanted to bring up were worthy to be talked about in the national square. But his actual effort, what he did to get that point across, it connoted something completely different to people. They didn't see somebody protesting police brutality and racial inequality. They saw somebody being disrespectful to the United States and the United States flag during the national anthem before a game. So his real message was completely dwarfed by the image and the message that he was really putting forth, which was being disrespectful to the United States. And then, of course, it got into being disrespectful to all the people that have fought for the flag. So now the veterans got involved. And so it was a PR disaster. Not only was it a bad, as I said before, protest executed plan, but then its execution and its conception was so bad, it became a nightmare. And now he was viewed as a traitor to the country, completely opposite of what he was trying to do. He was listening to the wrong people. He was listening to a very militant, angry protest group instead of somebody that said, your motives are good and legitimate. Let's talk about how we best do something visually that will represent that the racial inequality, the police brutality that you're trying to talk about. Instead, this was a militant and angry and, for many people, viewed as a disrespectful effort against America and the flag. So he completely failed. At the same time, the backlash was so bad on it that Colin Kaepernick hasn't gotten a job since then. Hasn't gotten a job since then in 10 years. He was one of the NFL's best quarterbacks. Now, he got hurt. I mean, his abilities did decrease, but in today's world, there's a 40-year-old quarterback who's getting traded because people want a quarterback. This guy, Joe Flacco. Quarterbacks in today's world are still a premium, and Colin Kaepernick was a good enough quarterback that he probably should have or could have continued to play for many years. But he became such a controversial figure. The NFL was, they were accused of being racist because they weren't hiring him, of collusion. At the same time, their fan base was like, hey, this guy is a traitor to our country. And the NFL, especially the fans, they still look at the game as America's game. As I said, though, the reality is the NFL isn't America's game anymore. It's slowly and surely becoming the world's game. And so longtime fans are going to have to start to accept that. And so that's why you're going to see more halftime shows based on a wider mainstream audience of younger people and a wider mainstream audience with an international flavor, because that's where the NFL is going. They're going younger and they're going international. So Bad Bunny is a, for that view, for that perspective, for that strategy, is a very good decision. As I said before, for many longtime fans, especially those of an older age, they go, well, what the heck? Who's Bad Bunny? And then you've got, as I said before, politicians weighing in, and now it's becoming this huge deal to the point now where the politics of this, as I said before, that statement of Bad Bunny and what he represents in today's kind of chaotic and impassioned political turmoil, especially surrounding the illegal immigration issue. Well, of course, now this has been elevated now into a political issue. It shouldn't have been, or it didn't have to be, but it is, because everything is now viewed through the political prism. There's nothing that doesn't get commented on by anyone or everyone at the same time around the world, thanks to social media. And we are such a divided country, especially in the United States here, that there has to be some politicizing of everything. And so now we've got the government, ICE, the head, Kristi Noem, saying that, well, if Bad Bunny is going to be at the Super Bowl, then maybe some ICE agents should be there, because if some, if that's going to draw a large foreign Latin-based audience, well, then there might be a good chance that there might be some undocumented immigrants there, some illegal immigrants there who might be targeted because of their arrest records or whatever. If they came in illegally, if they're undocumented by the law, they are lawbreakers. And so ICE is saying, well, you want to have Bad Bunny, we might just have some agents there. Oh, so now the Super Bowl is going to have controversy. It's not just going to be a Super Bowl game this year, folks. Remember, I told you this in mid-October. That game is going to be so politically charged. You are not going to believe it. Because at this point, the NFL is not going to back down on Bad Bunny. They're not going to change. And now, with these comments put together by the government, by Kristi Noem and the Homeland Security, well, they're not going to back down either. So, here we now are going to have, the Super Bowl, and it's going to be totally, instead of celebrating the game and the sport and this communal event that one of the few, if not the only one left, now it's going to be politically charged. And if you go to the Super Bowl in Santa Clara in California in February, I guarantee you there's going to be tailgating, but there's going to be ICE people out there too. Your tailgate party may have some ICE and not just in a cooler, but probably in trucks. And so that's where we're at now. Even the Super Bowl halftime show has become politicized. I'll tell you, we've got to start to do something here and try. And now we're talking about, everybody's talking about, especially with this rash of assassinations. Oh, everybody's got to get together. Everybody's saying it, but nobody's doing it. And now the one last communal event that we've got left, that we could say at least everybody can put aside their political differences and get together at somebody's house or a bar or go to the game or whatever and actually experience this one day, one time event yearly at the same time, all together. And now that is going to have division in it. That if there's going to be an ICE presence in the parking lots, darn well too now that is going to have 4 months to continue to boil. They made this announcement you know, a few weeks ago, and now this is going to boil until February 8th when that game is. And so now you know that there's going to be protests in the stadium, or certainly outside of the stadium, from both sides. You know, people saying they get rid of ICE and people saying get rid of Bad Bunny. So there's going to be political weirdness going on out there, where there might have to be a heightened police presence, or maybe once again now a National Guard. And and then you know darn well when they have the halftime show that it's going to be dividing people, and so he's going to come out, and you know there's going to be booing going on and protests and signs during that. Now, they might not get televised, but you know that's going to go on. And what's that going to do ultimately? You know what? It's going to tarnish the experience. And in many ways, just as the Academy Awards have diluted and tarnished their once shiny gold image, all this controversy now about the halftime show from now on, before it was a pop culture controversy, like last year, well, who's Kendrick Lamar and I don't know who he is and blah, blah, blah. But this Bad Bunny thing, now the politics gets in. And so from now on, every halftime show entertainment choice is going to go through a litmus test. And one side is going to love it and the other side is going to hate it. And they're going to insert politics and insert their ideology, even if it doesn't exist. They'll find something. And sadly now, the Super Bowl, the one event we've got left that seemed pure, that seemed untouchable, that seemed our last gasp at communal enjoyment, the last we kind of event as opposed to an us or a them. And I fear to say that now the Super Bowl is now going to become an us and them instead of a we. February 8th, 2026, Santa Clara, California. Come for the halftime show, stay for the game. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 490. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. The end of my mind. To your ears. Bad Bunny?